being here tonight, I'd like to start with the council member from District 6. The guideline is within District 6, so thank you all for coming out tonight. I also want to introduce Councilmember Megan Hall, who's here from District 5. How many residents from District 5 are there? So what I want to do, I mean, this meeting is specifically about Skyline End, but a lot of the issues that we're dealing with in the neighborhood, regarding the surrounding Skyline End, are the same area of issues that we're dealing with throughout the city, whether it's on State Street, Main Street, North Temple. Anytime you're dealing with low-cost motels, there are issues that are involving those things. So the way that this meeting came about was because there were a number of surrounding neighbors that were directly impacted by the motel. We worked closely with motel owners last fall. We had a similar meeting also here at this location with the property owner, with the some of the neighbors, talking about some of the things that could be done to deal with some of the nuisance issues, some of the difficulties with crime, and other things that were being associated with that motel. And so I know once we have the police department talk about some of the work that they've been doing with the property owner, I want to state that the biggest difference right now between the Skyline Inn and the issues that we're facing there and the other motel, the other low-cost motels around the city, is the fact that we do have a property owner who is willing to work with the police department, a property owner who's willing to talk to neighbors and be involved, and a property owner who's willing to come to a meeting like this, knowing that it may not be the friendliest of places. That, I think, is the advantage, I would say, that if you're trying to find a comparison between, how is the Skyline Inn and this issue different from State Street, Main Street, North Temple motels, because we do have a property owner who's willing to work with us. So for that, I want to thank them very much. I also want to mention that for those residents of District 5 living around the State Street and Main Street motels, Councilmember Mendon Hall is working on a larger community meeting on Monday, September 12th. On the 14th, so is that Monday or Monday. Location I know they're still working on, but if you haven't signed in, be sure to give us your email address so that we can notify you when that meeting that will specifically address those issues on State Street and Main Street take place. So again, thank you all for being here tonight. What I want to do is really have an open dialogue and a discussion about what the impact is to the neighborhood, what some of the things are that can be improved upon. And we will first, I'll open it up to residents and neighbors to talk about some of their issues, some of the things that make experience. After we hear from neighbors, we'll then have the property owner, who will speak about some of the work that she has been doing with the police department. We'll then hear from the chief of police, Mike Brown, who is kind enough to be here tonight. And then Mike will introduce Detective Smith, who is working closely with a lot of neighbors, with the property owner, dealing with some of these issues. We also have Mike Greenberg, the Director of Community and Neighbor Development, who will be here and he's oriented off as the building, oversee building inspections, to talk about what the city can and really can't do in a situation like this. So, my objective for this is similar to what the objective was last month. And that objective is to keep the discussion open, to keep things civil, to find it express frustration. I think it's important for the property owner to understand frustration. From my discussions with them, I think they do understand that there is frustration. But it is important to keep things civil. When Detective Smith talks about some of the work that he's been able to, that he and the police department have been able to do following the meeting last fall, those are things that that are real, that did come directly out of that discussion. Tonight, what I'd like to see is a continuation of that. A continuation of the dialogue and the work between the neighborhood, the property owners, with the city, to see what things can be done, how we can improve the situation. And I firmly believe that if we do that, if we continue that dialogue and discussion, that the outcomes that we reach tonight, that we will be able to replicate in the areas around State Street and Main Street, the areas around motels and around the world. Because again, the situations, the issues are very similar. It is a very frustrating thing when you have to deal with someone passed out of your home. When you or your children find drug paraphernalia on the street in front of injured in the bushes. When you have other issues that, solicitation or whatever else, these problems are real. They are problems that concern all of us, and rightfully so. And so, with those issues, it's also easy to lose, our temper. But again, the goal is to be direct and civil. So at this time, I'd like to I'm not going to have a list of people to call on to speak. But if you have issues, if you live around the Skyline Inn, and would like to make a statement or a comment, please raise your hand and I'll give you the microphone. I'd ask that you stand up. You don't necessarily come up here. It might be easier for everybody else to see you, but if you're not comfortable coming forward, let me stand in place. Introduce yourself by name, and you don't need an address, but just be your neighbor. That would be very helpful. So.
I'm Alex Scott. I live just up the street from Skyline. And I moved in about a year ago. And since I've been living there, I found needles on my property just to keep one of my kids play. I've gotten calls from my wife while I'm at work saying that, hey, there's a guy who just got arrested right outside the house and he has a restaurant, he has drugs, and he just came up on Skyline. I see a constant parade of vehicles parking in front of my property, walking down to the Skyline, spending some amount of time there, not long enough to stay there overnight, and then turning around and walking back up to my house. In the last few months, there's been more than two occasions where the SWAT team has been in my neighborhood looking for criminals, and to the extent that the police are going door to door telling people, we don't know where this person is, but they're, I have to go on for a long time. I'm extremely frustrated. I don't see anything happening to change the behavior that's going on. It's something that impacts me on a daily basis. And I would like to see something done to address it. And so far, I haven't seen anything that I would qualify as really trying. I know. It's a difficult situation, but it's also something that you might have to see around things that are here. It's widespread, and it's not one property, it's many properties. I've talked to enough people in the neighborhood, but I know that my story is not unique, and there are a lot of people who have had worse things happen to their property. And so I'm just extremely frustrated when I see someone done something type of concrete plan to address it.
Thank you.
My name is Christy Berger. I'm from the neighborhood and also a business owner there. I have been a landlord in Hollywood I run a business in the neighborhood as well, and we have drug deals that happen in the parking lot in front of me, and when I'm calling, I don't even get a big return phone call about my phone call about the drug dealing things.
Okay. Who have you been calling the, which number have you been calling? Okay, so you can call 911. One of the things that the city council that we've been working on is to really increase the number of officers that we have in the neighborhoods. Councilman Paul and I worked together on that during our last budget cycle. We were able to increase the number of officers. That said, there are still, we still have a lot of issues and a lot of calls. The best thing to do, even if you feel frustrated, or even if you feel like your issues are not being heard or you're not getting a call back, it's critical that you do continue to make those phone calls. The best number to call, and I will start putting this in my email that goes out, and you know, last blue news that I send out, is the non-emergency phone number. If there's an emergency, I mean, if you have somebody who's trying to break into your house or do something else, then it's completely appropriate to call 911. If there's somebody suspicious, if someone you're not sure, you know, what their issue are, it's not necessarily an emergency situation, you would want to call the non-emergency number, which, for those of you that have pencils, it is 801-799-3000. The reason that it is so important to call every single time, and I know it's a hassle, I know that it's you wonder if it's making sense, the police department, when they take those calls, they create a list of the calls that go to that number. And those lists are referred to when I get complaints and I call Detective Smith and say, hey, I'm hearing that, you know, we're having increased activity, increased, you know, police issues on the street. Detective Smith can then go through and see how many calls came in. And those calls are important so that we can address with your officers, or if we can see that there's a trend in a certain place, that will help. So I'm sorry that you did not receive the call back. I know when you call 911 doesn't necessarily go through that. The 799-3000 number tends to be the best number on for calls like that that aren't, you know, a direct emergency. But if you do that, then we can call 911. So thank you for continuing to do that. I know that it is frustrating. Yes. And again, be sure to speak directly into the microphone.
My name is Barbara Gassanjian, and I'm at 2580 East from my journey. I share a comment from the school of Skyline Law, and also the this address for since 1989. I also share a comment that I'm going to be on Empire Square at 1650 South, as well as the Naval Leaf Apartments at 1672. Hotel. Prior to the 2002 Olympics, residents of my neighborhood met numerous times with city planners, homeowners, and the business owners to address nuisances generated by the sidewalks. These nuisances are not limited to, but include transients, vandalism, and other traffic and noise stemming from these commercial properties along the 17th South. Unfortunately, problems have not gone away, and recently there have been media reports of illegal activities on Skyline Inn. We also put up with worsened traffic, noise, and light pollution. We want to hold the owners of these properties accountable. We want them to become good neighbors. It was better that this is a nice community, and we wanted to stay that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a little bit of information. I know that some of that I've been asked about nuisance abatement and what the city can do with that. Again, you know, Councilmember Amanda Paul her work with her constituents in the State Street, Main Street neighborhoods has been working closely on that issue. And also, once we have a better idea of some of the things, some of the strategies that can work with that, like I said, hopefully some of the things that are discussed tonight, we can incorporate in other places. Hopefully we'll be able to incorporate some of those other things up here as well. So I know that the city, has not necessarily, we haven't really done a lot of uses of pavement, but I know that is an issue that we are looking directly at, Jim, because to your point, it has been quite a while since the city used that as a tool. So for that, there is a discussion of work.
My name is Will Keenum, the operations manager at the car wash in Quinsburg. And on a daily basis, I'm taking people out from trying to beg for my customers. I'm finding needles every day, hives. I don't want to call someone a prostitute, but I wash the ladies, walk back and forth with a different guy all day. Just recently, I came in to work at the car wash. I pull in and I see a gentleman laying on the corner, and I look at him and there's a pool of blood underneath him. I call him, of course, and after the paramedics arrived, I spoke to them and they said it was something that they wrote. And I hadn't seen my dad for about 3 months. I keep my eyes wired because I carry a lot of cash around the car wash. And it's just Detective Smith, he's came in and talked to me and helped me and gave me the right line and everything. He's been, I feel as if since fall, some has improved, but there's still stuff that I know I call it once it's going to happen. Because people are waiting. But it's frustrating to have to deal every single day and keep someone out. I've had calls at 4 a.m. about property break-ins, and I don't go up there protecting myself. So I mean, last thing I want to do is shoot someone because they're breaking into the car wash for whatever reason. The vandalism and everything, I mean, is very expensive.
problems with our property, we want to build on it. We have security, we have pride in it. We've only bought that flat within the last year or so, and we've had plans to renovate it, clean it up, and we wanted to be good neighbors because we were committed to the hotel area. We've been there since 1980, and if we're not being good neighbors and we're causing problems, we certainly want to know about it. We'll deal with it. We have a proposal for the motel. This is probably not the right time to pay it. To say that we're willing to pay well over appraisal for it, we'd like to clean it up, we'd like to renovate the whole shopping center, and we just have a vision that we'd like to work with the neighborhood, and the neighborhood's been good when we've had other projects, and we'd like to figure out a solution that would help us. We don't like the crime, but if we're causing the crime, and that's happening at our shopping center, I'd like to blame Utah Liquor Commission. So we sit here and play them. And we'll take responsibility for it and our property.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Yes.
Thanks, Charlie. I won't say as much as I want to, but I wanted to invite you to buy any properties on State Street or Main Street.
Very, very unnerving things going on there. Now, that said, there's also the new Hilton Home Two Hotel that Joe owns down south end foothill. There's also a brand new Hampton Inn that is just north. If I'm a traveler and I want a place to stay, and I go to Home Two or I go to Hampton Inn, they want a driver's license and they want a credit card. I'm obviously a guy of less than shiny reputation, and I want to check into Skyline. I probably don't need a driver's license or a credit card. That is a business practice of the owners. If you really want to be good neighbors, owners of Skyline, require your guests to have identification. You may have to reinvent yourself and your business practices. Mr. Thacker has offered to do that in the neighborhood. Really, the only solution is not to rent rooms to people who Chief Brown and his detectives have to track down with their SWAT teams and put our entire neighborhood at risk. The life of the property owners, and they've got control. Thank you.
I drive by that motel probably four or five times a day. I have never, in the 5 or 6 years I've lived up there, seen what I would say is a legitimate customer driving around that motel. In the wintertime, I've never seen anyone with skis on the roof. I see people coming in all hours of the day. I mean, somehow the owners need to do something about this. It's not the police, because the police can be a presence there. Activity is going to diminish, but as soon as they, you know, mellow out a little bit, the problem's just right back. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brenda Bowen. I live at 1620 Wasatch Drive, and my son goes to school at the Montessori Community School down 1700. We don't drive past it, we walk past it as he's going to kindergarten. My kids are afraid to play outside. We have to install a new security system. We are afraid to have our doors open. We're afraid to have our windows open. It is awful that this is happening to our neighborhood, and I hope that something can happen immediately.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jenny Gross, and I live in the Skyline Circle, the circle that Anne was talking about a few minutes ago. And to reiterate her point, tragedy that happened in that house. And so it's very difficult because I don't want to say anything negative against the people who lived there. However, they were associated. Our car was stolen from our driveway. I took her in the afternoon. I just went in to grab something, came back out, and it was gone. We had our cars rifled through. And not just at night, but in the middle of the day, you see people walking. And we would track, we would walk, you know, kind of get our cars and say, let's see where they're going. Every time, you know, kind of a hooded person not wanting to show their face is walking back and silent in, and another one comes up and more. And we had so much traffic in the minute that the tragedy happened, it stopped. And so we all know which definitely, so it slowed down for us, but I do feel for the other people in the neighborhood who still see it happening on the streets.
Hi, my name is Sean Zag. I live on Foothill and 17. And besides having a couple of cars broken into over the last year and a half, I also just wanted to support Mr. Thackeray's proposal and offer to also be LP'd in the deal. I just think that with the group that we've got here, the area that we live in is so special and has continued to grow in value. I've got a young family, a lot of others as well, and I just think that with the Home 2 and other investments in the area, it's clearly a booming area, and you can make money at that spot, not charging $55 a night and attracting the crowd that comes with it. I think that with reinvestment and you know, actually giving an effort towards sprucing the place up can go a long way. And so I just think that you know, put money to work and you could really make a good return. And I just don't understand why the owners have chosen to almost be complicit in attracting this type of behavior. I mean, they need investment capital. It's there to be at probably in this neighborhood. So I just wanted to kind of understand a little bit more about why that reinvestment hasn't been made like it has been in the community.
Hey, I just got that letter maybe about 15 minutes ago, so wrap it up for doubtful. My name is Dustin Ward. I own the house right next door, this hotel. And it was my defense that the police had to go through 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, in order to make an arrest. I found out about it while I was out of town. I actually rent that property out, and I rented it out on VRBO and Airbnb. I spent the last 20 years of my life working for operating travel companies like Expedia.com, Hotels.com. I rely greatly on really good reviews, and it costs me money when people make reviews saying we're right next to a really shitty hotel that's dangerous. And so I personally interested in buying that property. Again, I just walked in, I just found out about this, but I don't know what the owner's intent is. But if they have an interest in selling that property, that's what we ought to be interested in. And the only way it turns around, I've heard somebody make a comment about taking driver's licenses, that's great. The only way to do it is like the gentleman mentioned, is investment, so that they can raise the rate. If they raise the rate, it changes the clientele, and that's the only way that's going to happen. So I don't know what their intention is, but I personally, right next door, am affected by my customers being afraid for their safety, and it's actually costing me a lot of space to move in the direction.
Trying to get some large brushes in.
Yeah, thanks, Justin Brown. Briefly, I live on Comanche as well, and had several cars rifled through, and recently had the car stolen and subsequently totaled by somebody who was driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs. I don't know if the person came from Wisconsin. It's not a hard link to make, given all these circumstances. I was added that after all these experiences, as I drive past the Skyline Inn, commonly think to myself or say out loud, enjoy our stuff as I drive past all the
time. What's the big problem?
Yes.
Thank you, Wes. I'm here with Stephanie. I live in just up the Mohawk Circle, and I noticed a steady increase in crime such that every neighbor has had a home crime watch unit. She's a captain. We've had our car stolen out of our driveway. Cost us thousands of dollars to get it back. It was returned, but it was found in Bountiful. French fries on the floor, happy hamburgers for miles, and the station on B102.
So we got double rooms and security system. Now, it's just not typical of the neighborhood we live in. It's disproportionate. The crime is really on my look at the crime dots. And there's dots that circle that area along that street. And it's almost like we live in a security bubble because it's a nice neighborhood. So a lot of the law enforcement is concentrated downtown near homeless centers and things like that. So it's almost like they're hiding under a cloak in our neighborhood. And it makes it difficult to raise them for us. So I've heard three or four car thefts already here. And there's probably more than what's been mentioned, but there's a lot of crime increase over the past several years.
Just to follow up what everybody's been saying about stolen cars, they often end up on 1700 South. And then we see the people, we have a former neighbor to watch, and we see people leave the car and go straight to the motel. We've had, probably 5 or 6 stolen cars in the past year. It's just out of control. So, anyway. Next one.
Okay, my name is Craig Carter. I live on Los Angeles Drive. We have a very effective police department. They go out and arrest a lot of people. What happens after they're arrested? Drug dealers go downtown, they're released in 3 or 4 hours, and they're right back on the street. How, as a group, can anything be done to increase or change the judicial system in Salt Lake City? Thank you.
Yeah, that is
the question. I'm Alexis Kuhl, and I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. It's an amazing turnout, and I think it's really important, and it shows that this community has really come together. I think almost everyone who lives on 17 South will really need our presence. And, you know, we've dealt with this issue, we formed neighborhood watches, we share each other's information and texts. And this is how we've gotten attention to this matter, is by pulling together and being eyes and ears for one another and really sharing what we're seeing. There's a guy coming up, he's on your side of the street. Okay, I see him. What's he doing? Now he's hiding in the bushes. He just went in the back of that house. Boom, we call the police. But that's not how we should be living. And I totally agree with your comments about, you know, there's a swimming pool and a spa that's advertised on the sign. And we were just back there a week ago, and I don't believe there's water in the pool or spa. So I don't feel as though the owners are able or willing to actually keep up the amenities that are there. And I see things degrading. And unless there's reinvestment and the place is being nicer and you can get a higher clientele and you can charge more money, it is going to be a very difficult problem, because if we just rely on the health department condemning rooms for methamphetamines, or we just rely on the code enforcement for having an air conditioner with a tar bomber or something like that, that's not going to change anything. What has to change is the level of service, the quality of that place to attract people to not go to the 2 hotels that are right on the street. If you're competing with those 2 really nice hotels, your only choice is to rent to the people who can't afford that. And to ask for credit cards or to ask for ID, I don't know that they're being in business, you know, because most people don't see that. So I just want to say thanks. I don't have a lot to say because I said a lot already, but I just want to thank everybody for coming, and I do want to find a solution. I do like my Kikita. They've been fantastic with coming to meetings and sitting down with us in October, but I think there might be a limit to what can be done, aside from, unless there's a lot of reinvestment, I'm not really sure that it can change.
Thanks, Liz.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy Hawkins, and I'm vice chair of the Ballpark Community Council, so that's District 5. And I just wanted to let all of you know that we, in our district, share your concerns deeply, and I know how isolating and powerless this feels. I know it feels like it's a problem that other people in the city don't have, but I want to assure you have that problem because we're our neighborhood watch associations, and we're also interested in getting more better neighbors and to act as the neighborhood and to the extent that we can act together as citizens of this city to work towards policy change and not solve this problem piecemeal. I'm really excited to work with any of you all on getting these issues moved forward.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Greg Anderson, and I've lived with the two losses back in 50 years. And I've watched this fall over the constant city crisis investigation there and multiple police cars and ambulances on the highway. And recently, I built a new house with three blocks over the road. Last 3 years, I've had the house broken five times. Twice during construction, but they sold tens of thousands of dollars worth of construction materials. As we were moving in, where they sold a number of precious belongings that I can never replace. And I too am in the hotel development business, and there's nothing that I would have done more than to see somebody do something with that property. That we talked about the apartments behind it. I don't think that those apartments are much better than the skyline. I think that those two are people to all for a lot of the neighborhood. I get my hair cut in Empire Square, and I watched that apartment building. There was a lot of activity there that I'm not happy with. I'm very thankful for all the support that's shown up today to address this issue.
My name is Beth. I came in after you started. Is there anyone here from the Skyline Hotel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'll actually be speaking after the neighborhood comment. So,
yeah. Okay, Jim, and then who?
Okay.
I'm Jim Webster. I live in the Walker's area, so I don't live in the Jason to that Skyline Hotel, but I do know Jay Watkins. Oh, I know that these stories have been going on for a long, long time, and it's an awful lot. I've talked to Detective Smith about it, and you know, I just know that it's been a real problem. The drug dealers that are involved in that situation often are ratting on the other guys, the smaller dealers, and so there's this kind of hierarchy and pecking order. It's a lot more involved than many of us think. And I've been involved as well, and probably worked with developers on probably 35 or 40 different hotel and lodging projects throughout the Western United States in the last 25 years. And this is just one that really needs to be rethought.
Hey guys, I'm Todd Gardner. I'm my wife and I are real Todd 327 in Lamplighter. Listen, we all know that there's a problem. We all know that it's been happening gradually over the past few years. So you gotta know it's hard on the business too, right? And once you get caught in a situation where that's what you have, then that's what gets attracted. And we've seen it, and I can personally say that I've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours over the last 4 years staring at the apartment building and staring at the polyform building and staring at the place across the street, and there is a problem. So what's the solution? There have been several offers of solutions tonight. I know that we're excited that the factory group has purchased Lamplighter Square. I know they have great plans for that area. That's a fantastic area. When we chose to put our restaurant in that area, it's because we've lived in the neighborhood for 15 years. Our parents used to stay at the Skyline Inn 15 years ago when we were first starting out. We want to see a solution. That's all anybody wants. So we don't want to beat up the owners. We don't want to, listen, I had my truck stolen out of my garage in my house 10 years ago when the skyline was still a nice place. So stuff happens, right? So let's come up with a solution to the problem that hopefully works for everybody. And let's start there.
Okay. Anyone else interested in commenting? If not, well, okay. Yeah, anyone who wants to speak can speak, so I'm not trying to cut anyone off.
I'm Doyle, and also I'm not on single. Just the owners of the hotel, their safety is also important, so you don't have to be put into a threatening situation, so it can be changed.
Yes.
My name is Justina, I live on 17 South. My mom's been there for over 50 years. And I moved back from San Diego about a year and a half ago with my mom. Years ago, my mom actually used to walk to the hotel and use their swimming pool. That was an easy, benign place to have in the neighborhood. It's kind of a ski in, ski out thing. And it was fine to have it there. It was kind of nice to have it there. So I don't know what happened in the meantime, but there's not disturbance there, and people don't feel safe, and there's all kinds of things going on. And I'm sure, I don't know if it's the same owners, but it seems like there's a lot of willingness to work with the hotel owners and find solutions where the owner is important. And I hate to think that they feel like they're being made the bad guys, or that they're going to be taken advantage of if they take it. If they go with some of these solutions that people have offered. So I just want to make sure that they feel that they're treated fairly as well.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, what we'll do is I'll now turn the time over to be one of the owners of the hotel. Again, I just want to thank well, she and her husband for being here. Knowing full well, the type of meeting that this was going to be, and that there are a lot of people who are unhappy. It would have been very easy for them to say that they declined attending. They did not. They've been very good to work with. So I'll turn the time over to you right now and just thank her for being here.
Grateful for the outreach and support that my dearest friends and some neighbors have shown. I'm so sorry for the frustration that our hotel has caused for you and my family. Loves the community and wants to do everything in our power to make it safe and wonderful street. I have made many changes in our hotel policies, but please be aware that every problem happens in our neighbor does not stand for my hotel. Let's also consider the way the media is portraying Skyline in New City. It makes it seem that there is a crime incident every day. This is simply not true. Last week there was an incident involving paramedics who arrived for a customer who needed medical help because she went in labor. Channel 2 News was told that it was a medical emergency, and yet new coverage continued to make it look as if there was a big crime happening on the spot. This is misrepresentation, is misleading, and makes me feel stressed and afraid to call appropriate authorities when true medical emergencies arise. As a side note, the woman and her husband are not parents of a healthy living people. On June 22nd, there was an arrest at the Skyline Inn. The whole incident was covered by media and it was going to be. There was a very similar arrest in Sandy last week. And yet, there was no mention even of the name of the hotel, only the address was given. And this person, robbed, I don't want to mention names of the person, but he had firearms, there was $30,000 in cash, a passport, credit card, several suspected burglaries, as well as drugs, paraphernalia, and he also had, you know, a lot of charges against me. So all this was just like not even shown, like the way my motel is covered. Why is it that no one made the motel where he was staying or shown any footage of where he was arrested? That said, I want to tell you that the policies my husband and I have implemented. I hope that it will be a short amount of time before news spread and people looking to cause problems are not welcome at all. We'll be renting only to people with valid IDs and credit cards. Maintenance is an ongoing thing, and I do welcome, you know, investors. I am interested in getting help to make that area beautiful again, and I wish we can, you know, continue the conversation. I know last, you know, Mr. Douglas group is contacting you again or whoever wants to help me to clean up the place. I'm really interested. No matter how much I try, I'm going to need your help and support to keep our area safe. I'm a member of the neighborhood watch, and yet nobody ever calls me to check on any questionable person in our street. I can check if they have a room here or if they're trespassing or take appropriate action. I ask you please to call me if there's any disturbance or noise issue at my motel. And please let me know if you have suggestions to make this our neighborhood safe. And Charlie, I would like to thank you for having this meeting so we could all position to get this.
Thank you, Peter. So the next thing I'd like to do is invite Chief Brown, Salt Lake City Police Department, to say a few words and introduce Detective Josh Smith, who is the community intelligence officer assigned to District 6. Josh has done a great job working both with the neighborhood watch, working with the motel, and so he'll talk directly about some of the things the police department has been involved with. Directly following them, we'll have Mike Reber, unless I think Mike has another appointment he has to run on to. If we can get to Mike, we'll hear from Mike. If we don't get to Mike, we'll hear from Oregon Dom. So,
thank you very much for being here tonight. This is overwhelming. I can't tell you how much we appreciate a community coming out and support the problems and issues in their neighborhood. With that being said, October 7th, we had a meeting. We talked about issues and concerns. I have to thank Councilmember Charlie Luke for your leadership, and Councilmember Eric Mendenhall, who's going to step down. But these are two fine leaders within our community that want to see a change. They want to make a change. They hear what you're saying. To that point, if you're not calling the police department every time you see one of these issues that we're talking about tonight, we're missing the boat. If we don't know about it, we can't react to it. If we can't react to it, we just don't know what occurs. And so, 799-3000, you need to call. Josh, do they have your number?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. And I'll give you my number, 801-799-3344. I would love to hear from you. And in fact, I get calls in the middle of the night from people to call me and ask me about issues and problems. And I can follow up, so thank you. If you'll call, we will do something about it. I don't mind the police department being the tip of the spear on this type of issue, but doing the same thing over and over and over is the definition of insanity. We can't fix this alone. It's not a police issue. The answer is in this room. The answer is coming together like we're doing tonight and communicating. But we will do our very best, whether it be drugs, trespassing, robberies, whatever is up there. You please let us know. And Josh, a couple things we've done in the police department, and I'll be short. We used to have our CIE detectives part of our promotional process, where they moved out real quick. We stopped doing that because we find we get much better participation, and Josh is your guy. He's not going anywhere until you tell me he's not doing the job for me. So, anyway, he's doing a great job. With that being said, we will continue to put our efforts up there. Recently, when I took over in June of last year, we found that our patrol levels were woefully understaffed. We had around 100 officers in patrol. That was not enough to serve the communities of Salt Lake City. In 2 weeks, we are signing up approximately 160, 157 officers to be on the front lines of patrol, which means every community in this city, not just the west side, not just the east side, every community deserves to have an officer or a presence that you know, you can point to and say, yeah, I see our officer, and he stops by and he talks to us. And so we've worked very hard to do that, and I think that will pay some dividends. But the greatest thing and the biggest help you can be is if you let us know what you need and what we can bring to the table. Because Mike Greenberg's here, or Ian Goff, Nate Salazar with the mayor's office, we're all here to help. We're all on the same team, but we need somebody to kind of quarterback these issues. I will do that, and in my stead, Josh Smith is your man. So I'm going to turn it over to Josh for a little more of what we're doing to try to help you out up there. So thank you very much again for being here. Yes, sir. This sounds like a crazy idea. I probably got it from a television crime show, but if there's this many characters coming in, why not the detective take a night shift or check the night manager, just check people in and compare it to your list of fugitives or people with warrants, and instead of checking them in, you just walk them down to the station. Is that, I think that would check them in the city jail. I mean, it's like a sting operation. We're all coming to the same place. You don't have to chase them around town. We'll keep them for a pattern and we'll pay for it. There's some other options we can do. I mean, everybody points to nuisance abatement. And believe me, we've looked at it. We have the law on the books. Mark Petrillo, our attorney sitting right over here. Mark and his staff have looked into this thing with detail. And yes, it is a stick that can be used, but it's a very slow stick. It takes a long time to get there. Just so you know, it takes time. You have to build the case, you have to support the case, and you have to make sure that everybody, all the keys and all the I's are dotted so we can move forward with that. But it is something we have looked at and can do. So Josh, you ready? Any more questions of me? I just want to go.
When we attended the Neighborhood Watch in October, you had an officer there who actually said to the owner, you know the profile, you know what they look like. My question is, can they refuse, and how do they refuse, and are they refusing?
Charlie, can I ask the chief a question? Will opening up more jail space at Oxbow help you solve some of the problems that we've been hearing about tonight?
Jail is always a deterrent. I mean, it separates people that commit crime from society. It separates addicts who do a lot of drugs. It gives them a time out to maybe reflect. There is probably a better way to do life. Does it solve all of our issues? No. But having the space to give somebody a time out now and again is not a bad thing.
I would like the police to give us a profile of the Skyline Hanging. In the last 5 years, how many times you've been called there, and for what purpose? Can you do that? And secondly, let me ask you this question. How do you compare that with other similar motels in the city? Is it illustrative of the kind of problem that we've got with the Skyline Motel and the clientele that they attract?
I know that Josh does have answers to both of those questions. I think he's going to talk about what some of those have.
Well, does your evaluation of it? You can have it and you have a file.
So just before I get started, I want to know who has my information, contact information. Who here has it?
Please say.
Who has it? Okay. So I'm seeing, we're going to assume that my contact information. So here it is. I have cards up here that have it as well. And you can also find it at slcd.com. Sorry, I don't like talking to microphones. The easiest way to get a hold of me, 801-799-3112. Okay, if I don't answer, leave a message. Okay? I check it even on my days off, okay? Because I care. If you want to email me, CIU, so Criminal Intelligence Unit, CIU, District 6 at slcgov.com. Two best ways to contact me. And on the question earlier where you said that, you know, we're reporting crime, but we're not necessarily getting the feedback we want, I believe it was you, Matt. Feel free to send me an email saying, hey, I reported this last night. Can you give me a little bit of follow-up on it? I'm more than happy to do that. That's what I'm here for. So just let me know. Either way, call, email. So last year we met October 7th to address some of the same issues. And we went over a list. And I still have that list today. We talked about videos from panelists and signs. We worked on it. It was a longer process than we thought was, but might need to help us out. We got it. We have a DVR that's up and running. We have cameras up and running. Talking with them, we're also exploring more options of cameras. That's where we stand on that issue. We also have trespassing affidavits. I was asked to not only contact the motel owners, but I was asked to contact owners in the other area. I was able to make contact with Mr. Car Wash, Red Hanger, and some of those other businesses in the area. Some weren't really interested in the trespassing affidavit, but we do have a trespassing affidavit signed and on file for both a Skyline Inn and Mr. Car Wash. With that being said, we're able to prosecute some of these individuals a little bit easier than it was in the past. It was discussed neighborhood watch and signs. We got the contact information for those individuals that wanted to set up that neighborhood watch. We said we helped them get that set up and when we showed it in action a couple weeks ago. Other things that we talked about were setting rules and regulations for the motel. We talked about discouraging long-term staying and rentals and no visitors after 10 o'clock. That's something that the hotel has addressed and that they're working on. The biggest thing that they asked the police department to do is patrol checks. They wanted patrol checks throughout the day, throughout the night. And with these patrol checks, not only do we have patrol officers checking this hotel, we have detectives checking this hotel. And when you ask for more patrol, you ask for more officers to patrol that area that deep, you're going to see more arrests. You're going to unfortunately see federal agents running through your backyard chasing guys. That's what happens. We start addressing this issue and going after these individuals that are at that hotel with these patrol checks that you're asking for. So just know that some of these SWAT call-outs, a lot of these individuals, I know that we have some high-profile arrests there recently, news coverage all over. Most of them are started by what's called on-view, police action. It's the police that are going into that area and being proactive and finding these individuals, whether it's searching cars and so forth. What I can tell you right now is the motel owners have been great working with our police officers and our detectives. They're giving information to our detectives. They're letting us have rosters, people who are staying there, which is not required. There's a lot of the lower end hotels that do not work with us. They do not have contact information. I bet you there's a bunch of them that you wouldn't even see sitting in a room or an environment like this. They wouldn't, okay? And that just shows that we do have owners that care and are trying to do something and we're going from there. So just know that that's some of that the owners are working with the police. They're not hiding anything from us. They're very open. They've actually established some great working relationships with some of our patrol officers that frequent that area and try to help out as much as they can when they're on duty. And we'll continue. It's not going away, and it's not, this isn't any different from the treatment that Skyline Inn is getting is no different than the same treatment that you know, the Alta Motel, the Main Street Motel. A lot of these motels are getting the same treatment with added patrol requests. And that's what we'll continue to do, and we'll continue to do what we can to arrest these individuals that are kind of preying on our neighborhoods and going from there. Yeah.
I just want to thank you for saying that when we ask for more help, you'll see more stuff. You know, you'll see more arrests. And I think, even though it's kind of interesting to see a SWAT team on the street, I think it's helpful in a way that it gets press and it gets news coverage, because if those bad guys and those bad elements see that the neighbors on 17th South and on the East Bench are watchful and calling the police on everything that they see, they'll be less likely to stay there because they know they can't hide. So the fact that there's a presence and that there's visibility to it, I think only helps us as well. So thank you.
With all due respect to all here tonight, if you cannot afford to run a legitimate business, I'd like to ask you to please step aside and allow someone who can run it to run it. I spend 50% of any given month in hotels. They are clean, they are nice, the clientele is nice, and the majority of them also have a full-time security guard. They are 24/7. I don't think it's just enough to ask that the police should not have a hand in running this business. Thank you.
Again, Detective Smith, thank you so much. Chief Brown, thank you. You know, while we have seen an uptick over the past couple of months, I think a lot of that, you know, to Detective Smith's comments, are because of the increased involvement that we're seeing from our Salt Lake City Police Department around this motel and similar motels around the city. So thank you for your work at Skyline. Thank you for your department's work on all the other motels as well. We still have a long way to go, but, you know, at least, again, you know, what the advantage I think that we have with the Skyline Inn is the fact that we do have owners who do listen and who are here. Because most of these places, you know, are unresponsive to the city, they're unresponsive to neighbors, and that makes it very, very difficult to, you know, to do the kind of in-depth things that I think. So thank you very much. Oregon Goff, what time do you say?
I have one good question.
Yeah.
How many of these people have you arrested multiple times? Arrested multiple times at this location? Do you have any idea?
I don't have, off the top of my head, I do not have that information. We can look into it and see if we have repeat offenders and who's being arrested out of that hotel.
Wouldn't the problem stem from what's going on inside with the personality, like the property manager? You know, things died down quite a bit. There's a lot more than the police there. It dies down for a couple, 3 weeks, and then the activity starts to fall over again. Like the coast is clear, but the activity began. So what about your property manager? Start, you know, solve the problem from inside, work out from there. You know, it seems like the property manager, and I'm not saying that, he could be involved in the whole situation. The coast is clear, he's got a full-time resident back. Cops, you know, customers, you know, in and out, and there's got to be a permanent roof for the meter there. You know, working the nails around the drug game job. But I think the problem starts from within, and that might be your property manager.
Gordon?
Good evening. Sorry that you're going through this situation. Councilmember Pinfold asked me if I would talk to you a little bit about our civil enforcement group. We do have 12 civil enforcement officers that work throughout the city. They work in geographical areas. And we haven't had any open cases on that property for a long time because most of those issues are issues that are gun and badge type issues. We have participated with the police quite often and the health department quite often in responding to that business. And when we do that, if there's something that we have the authority to enforce on, we do. Chief Brown alluded to the fact that there are some nuisance ordinances that might be useful. But like you said, they have a very slow timeline. And another thing that most people don't realize is in Salt Lake City, we have a pretty strong civil enforcement ordinance on single family dwellings, but really none on commercial buildings. And hotels are considered commercial buildings. So we don't have a lot of great tools in the ordinance that would be available to our civil enforcement staff as far as abatement of issues such as weeds that are too long, junk automobiles, broken windows, things such as that. But we do respond very quickly on those. There's an app that you can download. It's on the city's website called SLC Mobile. And you don't even have to really know the address. That's a pretty slick app where you just take the picture and QR code the location, and then that will be routed to the proper city department to respond. We have a group that responds to graffiti, and we have groups that respond to other issues. So if you want to go online, download that app and use that whenever you need to, and you'll respond quickly, usually the next business day, sometimes the same day. Any questions that I can answer for anybody on civil enforcement? It is a nuisance issue. It seems that we really don't rise to the level of someone that would be arrested. So junk automobiles, illegal signs, trash that's building up, broken windows, things such as that. Yeah, and the health department and the police department, we usually send someone out with them, or if they think it is something that we can respond to within our jurisdiction, within our authority, then we send civil enforcement staff with them.
Can you just repeat the name
of that? SLC Mobile. And you can link to it off of the website, slcgov.com.
So, you know, at this point, are there any questions or let me tell you what the next steps are. So, Ori mentioned that in the civil code, right now, that a lot of property issues, nuisance issues, while we do have a lot that deal with residential properties, we don't have a lot with commercial units. And in order for civil enforcement to enforce on something, it has to be in the city code. And so one of the things that I'm going to be working on with Ori and with his group is to see, you know, what some of the different options are to include in an ordinance that will deal with some of the issues, not directly related only to motels, but to all commercial businesses. The fact that the city really doesn't have the ability to enforce on some of those issues is it's amazing that it's gone as long as it has without having something like that. So that's something that I'm interested in working on. I know Councilmember Mendenhall with her neighborhoods and constituents is working on some of these nuisance abatement issues as well. And it's that kind of work. It's calling the police when you see something. It's contacting your council member and just letting us know. You know, hopefully, you understand. We're all on the same side. None of this helps. I mean, in order for Salt Lake City to be great, our neighborhoods need to be safe. We need to be proud of our neighborhood businesses. We need to be proud of our properties. We need to be proud of where we live. We all choose to live here. We've made the choice. You know, those of us, whether you own your property or whether you rent your property, you live where you live because you choose to live there. And it is important that, regardless of how busy you are, because everyone has busy lives, but taking the time to talk to your neighbor. If you don't have a neighborhood watch,
to work with a council member, work with the police department to set up a neighborhood watch. It does take time. It depends on how much time it takes, but there are things that we can do, the city can do, but we have to have your participation. And the reason that we're having this meeting tonight is because you reached out, because you did contact us, because you have raised this issue and have expressed concern. But not only have you just expressed concern, you've been very involved. The neighborhood watch around Skyline Inn has been very, very effective at communicating with each other. The fact that the property owner is a member of that neighborhood watch is a very, very good sign as well. But it's that collaboration. That's really how we're going to be able to most effectively get to the bottom of this. We can pass ordinance after ordinance saying you can't, if we're going to come after it, you can't do that. The reality is, we're the ones that are going to be able to make change. It's much easier to work with the property owners of these motels. And I will say, the property owners of the business that is not a good neighbor.
Thank you.